Shalom, welcome to SJTF. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. This program is where we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers every week. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mittman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Seb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Haramir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mittman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Olat. And you know, JTF is the only organization outside of Israel that is offering financial support or any other type of support to the heroic Hilltop Youth. The Hilltop Youth are the only Jews in Israel that have broken out of the established settlements, the little settlement zones that the Israeli government allows Jews to live in, within 3-5% of Judea and Samaria, but the other 95-97% of Judea and Samaria, the Israeli government plans to give away in order to create a so-called Palestinian state, God forbid. The only Jews who have broken out of those established settlement areas and are setting up new communities on dozens of strategic hilltops throughout Judea and Samaria are the heroic Hilltop Youth. And they're facing constant destruction this week once again. The Israeli police and the Israeli border guards came in under orders from the evil Israeli government to destroy more structures. They destroyed a caravan, they destroyed other structures. This is something that takes place all the time. But you know, they never stop building. When their structures are destroyed, they rebuild. They come back and rebuild. And you know, in the race, this cat and mouse game where they destroy, we build, they destroy, we build, we've been building at a faster pace than they have been destroying. The Hilltop communities are growing and are expanding. And we are making progress despite the destruction that is taking place from the Israeli government that never touches the tens of thousands of Arab structures that are being built all over Judea, Samaria, and all over the land of Israel illegally. The Arabs are able, with a free hand, to build illegally everywhere, and no one touches what they're doing. 100 times more Arab building than Jewish building. And yet, what the Jews build, the Israeli government comes in to destroy. So if you want to back these heroic Jews, because if they don't win, God forbid, there's going to be a Palestinian state, God forbid. They have to win this battle. The Hilltop Youth have to win. I know it's against the odds, but they have to win. Otherwise, we're going to have a Palestinian state. And by the way, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, needless to say. But if they don't win, the whole Jewish people are going to lose, and lose catastrophically. They must win this battle. And so if you want to help and support, there are two ways you can do it. We need your support. Everyone, we need your support. You can support us online by going to our Hebrew main page, which is hayamin.org, and you click on the donate button on top. There's a big donate button in English on top. You click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can very easily and conveniently donate. Every donation is appreciated. Whatever you give is appreciated and will help. And that money will go to the Hilltop Youth. If you want to donate through the regular mail, you can send checks or money orders made out to JTF to the following address. JTF P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. JTF P.O. Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. And of course, all of this information also appears on our forum and on our main page, the JTF.org main page, and on our forum if you ever want to access this information yourself. All right, let's get to our questions this week from our great JTFers, and we're going to start out with Ram 770. Okay, and Ram writes in Hebrew. I'm going to quickly translate. I know that most of our great forum members do not speak Hebrew, so we're going to go through this as quickly as we can. We don't want you to have to wait for translations back and forth and not understand what's going on. So this will only take a couple of minutes. Here we go. שלום חיים היקר, מה שלומך? רציתי להגיד לך שאני אישית שמח שאתה אומר שאני אודי ורטמן, בן ציון, גגולה, אמיר. And he goes on to mention other people here that they're going to be happy to join us and to cooperate with us in our campaign, לשתף איתך פעולה לגבי נוער הגבעות, אבל נשמח אישית לפעול בעד נושאים נוספים אם אתה בעד. But he says, but why can we also want to deal with other issues if you're in favor? And I'm going to answer him quickly in Hebrew and then in English. אנחנו רק מתרכזים בנוער הגבעות כעת, רם. זה כמו לומר בשואה, כשהייתה שואה, שנכון יש שואה, נכון רוצחים מיליוני יהודים, אבל גם צריך לעזור בעניינים של אמריקה או של אירופה, עוד עניינים, יש עוד נושאים שצריך לטפל בהם. כשהייתה שואה, הנושא היחיד שהייתה חשוב לנו, דחוף לנו, הייתה השואה. כשיש סיכון של עוד שואה חלילה, בגלל הסכנה של מדינה פלסטינית חס וחלילה, אנחנו חייבים לעשות את הכל כדי לעזור לנוער הגבעות להביס את אלה שרוצים להקים מדינה פלסטינית. זה יותר חשוב מכל דבר אחר, ואנו חייבים להתרכז בנושא הזה. אנחנו לא בעד שיחות ודיבורים ודיונים שלא משיגים כלום. אנחנו דווקא משיגים, אנחנו דווקא עושים בשטח, וזה מה שצריך לעשות, וזה הנושא כדי להשיג, זה הנושא בשבילנו. And what I told him is our subject, the subject that we're going to work on is the Hilltop Youth, because during the Holocaust, when you had the Holocaust, what if you had Jews who would come and say, well, okay, there's a Holocaust, millions of Jews are being murdered, but we have other things to deal with in America and other issues that are important to the Jewish people. We can't just worry only about the Holocaust. What, are you kidding me? When there's an emergency or crisis like that, you have to deal with the Holocaust. You have to deal with that emergency situation. And we have a danger of a Holocaust here, God forbid. If there's a so-called Palestinian state, there's a danger of a Holocaust. We've got to focus and concentrate on that issue. That is the issue. And that's the only issue we're actually going to accomplish something. All the other stuff is just bluff. It's just talk. Talk that doesn't actually accomplish anything. We propose doing this and we want to do that and we're going to do this. It's all nonsense. We are actually doing things. We're actually building and creating and fighting the battle on the ground. We're actually accomplishing something on a daily basis in Judea and Samaria. And that's what we should be focused on. And now Ram writes, and I quote, Esmach nedaber shuv bifrati ani ata uven zion legabei ha'aliyah shelcha arza haim ze efshari shenaaseh hafkana mul habayit shel sarat apnim ayelet shaked כמו שהצלחתי בזום להביא 45 אנשים, אני יכול להביא הרבה אנשים. אני אישית אשמח לקשר אותך לחבר שלי. Okay. Ram is writing about having a demonstration at the interior minister's house regarding my aliyah. And here's my answer. Ram, אני לא חושב שאנחנו נצליח להשיג את זה כעת. אני ביקשתי שוב אשתקד. אשתקד זו מילה בארמית, זאת אומרת, בשנה שעברה. אני כבר ביקשתי, ושוב לא הצלחנו, למרות שהיה לנו חבר כנסת מהליכוד כשהייתה ממשלת ליכוד. אז אנחנו עכשיו מתרכזים בנוער הגבעות. זה הנושא שלנו. And Ram writes me about somebody that wants to interview me on, and that's already being taken care of. אני יודע, Ram, ניר ויינברג רוצה לראיין אותי, ואני יודע שזה היה טוב, ואנחנו בקשר איתו, בעזרת השם, אני מקווה שנוכל לסדר את זה. אני מודה לך, רם. And I just told him that I am in touch with the person that he wants to get me an interview with, and that I thank him. By the way, he organized a conference call with me with 45 people. He got 45 people to come to the conference call. So I thank Ram for that. And now we go to Yemach Shmo Islam, who writes, and I quote, Teh Chaim, do you know about the Logan Paul incident where he filmed himself in front of a corpse in a forest in Japan, unquote. Yeah, this is somebody who will do anything for publicity. This is an evil, disgusting, immoral rodent who will do anything to get publicity. So, you know, there are people like that who have no morals, no decency, just nauseating people. And, you know, that's tragically in the times we live, that type of behavior is considered acceptable. It's not acceptable to God, and it's not acceptable to us. Thank you, Yemach Shmo Islam. And now we go to the great Nekama. It's so good to see you, Nekama. Nekama writes, and I quote, Dei Chaim. One, do you have any opinion on the late, great Baba Sali, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha? Yes, the Baba Sali was indeed a great Torah scholar. He was a great rabbinic sage from Morocco. And since a lot of my family came from Morocco, lived in Morocco, I came from Egypt, Morocco, from all types of Muslim countries. Unfortunately, they lived in Muslim countries, my family. But I did have family from Morocco. And so, yes, I mean, he was definitely a great rabbinic scholar, no question about it. Even though, you know, we don't agree with the fact that he urged people to vote for Agudat Yisrael, for that party. That's a despicable party. He, whatever his reasons were, he was a great man and he loved the Jewish people. But I think that was a tragic decision to urge people to vote for Agudat Yisrael. Agudat Yisrael is a Haredi party that was part of the Sharon government when they threw the Jews out of Gush Katif and expelled 10,000 Jews from their homes. So, you know, that's a religious party that accepts doing that. Agudat Yisrael is the scum of the earth. The scum of the earth. Anyone who be part of a process of throwing Jews out of their homes and handing over Jewish land to our enemies is scum. But Baba Sali, I don't know if he was I don't know if he was aware that this eventually was going to happen, and he certainly had the best of intentions. And again, he was a very great Torah scholar. Nekama now writes, too, with the election of Eric Adams as mayor, is New York City now officially a chocolate city? No question about it. That, well, I don't know if New York is mixed with all types of different groups from the third world. There are neighborhoods in New York that look like the place where my grandfather came from Egypt. You know, we literally, by the way, huge number. I mean, whole streets of store after store after store are Egyptians. It's unbelievable. It looks like Cairo. It looks like it's a nightmare. You know, I always referred to Washington, D.C. For many years as like a chocolate bar. It's 90% chocolate and 10% nuts. And unfortunately, New York City seems to be going down the same path as all the major cities in the United States. And I think this shows that the United States is on the way down. The United States is quickly on the way to self-destruction. Thank you very much, Nekama, as always. And now we go to our good friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what are your views on these transgender perverts who are competing with girls in high schools and colleges, breaking all kinds of sports records? Thanks. It's so sick that it's beyond words. I have no words to describe how sick this is. And where are all the feminists, all the feminazis, who are supposed to be defending women's rights and girls' rights, and nothing violates women's rights more than this? That someone in a man's body suddenly says that he's really a woman so that he can go and compete with girls in sports? And obviously, you know, men are going to win in those sports, obviously. I mean, it's just the fact that women, I'm not saying there aren't very, very athletic women and very strong women, there certainly are, but males in many sports events are going to win if they compete. If they get in, the man is going to easily defeat the woman, easily win. And allowing this to happen is just, it's complete insanity. It's an example of how crazy we are. You know, people say that we're unrealistic. We're unrealistic? You believe that a man who puts a dress on and says that he's a woman, that that's realistic? That's what these people that we're fighting against, that's what they stand for. That's what they're teaching us. Just remember, we are the realists. We are the realists. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. We are the realists. They are insane. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And now we go to our great longtime friend, Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, discuss Danielle Outlaw. That be her real last name. She's the police commissioner of the Philadelphia Police Department. How do people have such names? Is it a black name? With a name like that, how is she supposed to be the head of the police? I think I heard she will join the NYPD. In the meantime, Philadelphia has a new record for murders in a year. I wonder who they be. The Philadelphia DA is a self-hating Jew that once represented Mumia Abu Jumal, who murdered a white Irish police officer," unquote. I didn't know that, by the way. I knew that you had a self-hating Jew as the Philadelphia DA, but I didn't know that he once represented the Mumia Abu Jumal, the cop killer, the vicious, vicious black Muslim cop killer who's on death row for many years. I didn't know that. The new police commissioner in Philadelphia her name is literally Danielle Outlaw. That's her name, Outlaw. Literally her name. Look it up on Google. If you think that Binyamin is making this up, look it up on Google. That is her name, Outlaw. I just, you know, and she, by the way, she was the police commissioner until recently in Portland, Oregon. And you saw what a great job she did in Portland, Oregon. She turned what was once a white a city where there was virtually no crime. It was clean, beautiful city. It's now, I mean, her and the other communists that took over Portland, they've turned it into a garbage dump, into a sewer. It looks like Bedford-Stuyvesant. It looks like some slum in New York City or in Chicago. And you know, and now she's come to Philadelphia to do the same destructive work. It's as I said, America is on the way down. And now Binyamin writes, and I quote, "Two, discuss Wilma Mankiller. The Wilma Mankiller quarter is the third coin in the American Women Quarters program. She was the first woman elected to serve as principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. Is her last name Mankiller because she hated men?" Unquote. Who knows? Maybe her name is Mankiller because she really did what it says in the name. I I have no idea. That's a crazy name. And, you know, I don't have anything against the Native Americans, against American Indians. I've known some Native Americans who were good people. But, you know, this is just, there are just a lot of people that are out there that are just nuts. And of course, only the lowest is going to be honored be placed on the... They're going to be placed on quarters. This and Schwarzes, they're putting on the quarters. We're going to have Schwarzes all over American currency and American dollar bill and American... I don't know about American dollar bills, but soon the only thing you're going to see in this country is Schwarzes, Schwarzes, Schwarzes. And it's unbelievable. And eventually you'll have the woman with the burqa, you know, we'll have that. They're going to put a burqa on the Statue of Liberty eventually. You'll see. They're going to put a burqa on her. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go... Burqa, by the way, is the covering that the Muslim women wear, which I have no objection to. I don't want to see their face, to tell you the truth. But they... You know... Bye-bye, America. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to Hirvatsky Noachai, who always asks great questions. I hope I can answer this question. I'm not sure I understand it. But anyway, can you explain the difference between the legal status of a ger toshav and the title ger toshav, unquote? Just so that people understand, ger toshav is a Gentile living in the land of Israel who observes the seven commandments of Bnei Noach. And by the way, when I say observes the seven commandments, it goes beyond just observing the seven commandments. Because It's possible you can have, for instance, Gentiles who are just wise people, wise, logical people who decide that they're not going to, you know, what are the seven commandments? You're not going to, not to murder, not to steal, not to curse God, God forbid, to have courts and systems of justice, not to eat organs from a live animal. You know, the seven commandments are really basically just to live civilized, decent lives. And so you can have Gentiles who do that right now. But they don't do it because they believe that God commands them to do it. They don't do it because God gave the Jews the Torah at Mount Sinai, and part of the Torah and part of the laws apply the seven laws for the Gentile nations. That's what a true Ger Toshav and what a true Ben Noach must do. In order to be a Ben Noach and in order to be a Ger Toshav, you have to not only follow the seven commandments, you have to believe that God commands you to follow these seven laws. And that God, and you also have to believe that God commanded the Jewish people to follow Taryag HaMitzvot. Taryag HaMitzvot are the 613 commandments that were given to the Jewish people on Har Sinai and Mount Sinai. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then Harambam, Maimonides says, you're just a wise person. Just a Gentile who's a wise person, if he's just following the seven laws but doesn't believe it's because of Hashem. You have to do it because Hashem tells us to do it. You have to do it. It is logical. There's no question about it. The laws are logical and the laws are necessary for society to function properly. But in addition to that, you have to believe that Hashem gave us these laws. And that this is because of Hashem. And if you do that, you can be a Ger Toshav. And a Ger Toshav, again, is a Bnei Noach that live in the land of Israel. These are Gentiles that follow the seven laws that the Gentile nations are required to follow. Now, there's also something, because people sometimes get confused, there's also something called Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek is a Gentile who has converted to Judaism. So a Ger Tzedek is actually someone who is now a Jew. Any Gentile that converts to Judaism is fully part of the Jewish people. So there's a difference between Ger Tzedek, who's a convert to Judaism, and Ger Toshav is someone who follows the seven laws of Bnei Noach. Now, Hirvatsky asked me about the legal status of Ger Toshav versus the title Ger Toshav. I don't know, are you referring to the fact that that a Ger Toshav has to go through a Beit Din, has to go through a rabbinical court in order to be certified as Ger Toshav, that really, when, especially when we have Beit HaMikdash and Beit HaMikdash is the Holy Temple and we return to having a Sanhedrin, that at that time people who want to be Bnei Noach and have to be officially recognized by Batei Din, by rabbinic courts, as having followed the process and being part of that, and they actually get an official recognition of that to be a Ger Toshav. I don't know if you're referring to that when you say legal status, because legal status means the Jewish halacha. At least I'm interpreting what you're saying is the legal Jewish halacha versus just the title Ger Toshav. There are people who have the title who have not gone through that process, who have not gone through the process of getting a Beit Din, of getting a rabbinic court to certify that they're a Ger Toshav or that they're Bnei Noach. They have not gone through that process, but they still are considered to be Ger Toshav. Maybe that's what you're referring to. I think that the Jewish community, and I think the rabbis and our generation do accept righteous Gentiles who have decided to follow the seven commandments because they believe in Hashem. And who understand that the Torah and the Tanakh are true. I think that even if they don't go through the process of going through a Beit Din, it's good to go through a Beit Din and get certified, but even if they don't, I think they're still fully accepted as Bnei Noach. I still think they are Bnei Noach. And that's in the next world, the Bnei Noach, the followers of the laws of Noach, they're going to be ruling every nation outside of Israel. They're going to be running the whole world outside of Israel. The Jews are just going to be running Israel. That's going to be the Jewish job. The Gentiles, the righteous Gentiles, are going to be running the rest of the world. So we're talking about very important people here. We're talking about a small group of people who have accepted this, but they're going to have a very important role to play in the next world. Thank you, Hirvatsky. And now we go to Kahana Was Right BT, another great JTFer for a long time with over 12,000 posts. Kol HaKavod, all the honors to you, Kahana Was Right. And Kahana Was Right always has great posts and great questions. And he writes this week, Dear Chaim, one, do you have any thoughts on the Chaim Walder story, unquote? Well, Chaim Walder was a Haredi author, a famous Haredi author in Israel. He wrote books on children's subjects. And unfortunately, he was also a pedophile. And he got caught. People complained about that he was molesting girls and young women, and they complained about it. And this is someone in the Haredi community who's doing this. And recently he committed suicide. When it was revealed what he did, he committed suicide. So it's a terrible, terrible story. And the Haredi reaction to it is even worse. Yated Ne'eman, which is the official newspaper of Agudat Yisrael, the party that I mentioned before, this evil party that bunch of corrupt, evil, disgusting people who supported the expulsion from Gush Katif and have supported terrible things against the Jewish people, who in the 1950s were backing Ben Gurion when he was kidnapping thousands of Yemenite Jewish babies from their mothers. Yemenite Jewish babies were actually taken from their mothers and kidnapped and taken away, and their mothers never saw them again. And this is something that happened in the 1950s in Israel from the communist Ben Gurion government, and Agudat Yisrael supported Ben Gurion and so was part of all of this. They thought it was fine. They thought he was a great prime minister. And today, by the way, all these religious Jews defend Ben Gurion and like he was some sort of great prime minister, this filthy traitor. But anyway, the newspaper, the official newspaper of this party, they actually, when he committed suicide, they actually ran article. They, of course, it was the biggest story, and they ran huge articles. And in the article, they said they said Zecher Tzadik Livracha. They said for him Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, which is what something you only say for the greatest saints. This is what they said for a serial pedophile who raped or sexually assaulted or molested 22 different girls, some of whom were underage girls. I mean, molesting anybody is a terrible thing, but molesting underage girls is even more horrific, because they don't know how to, a certain age, and how do you cope with this? But the whole thing is just mind-boggling. And they referred to this as, and they actually praised this individual in the article, recalling his life story. Anyway, so that my reaction is, wow, just disgusting. This is the same people, by the way, who condemned our great leader, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Haram Mir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. They would never say Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha for our great leader. They didn't even call him Rabbi. They call him Meir Kahana. They didn't even call him Rabbi Kahana. They couldn't shine the dirt. They couldn't clean the dirt under his shoes. But anyway, so you see what we're up against with certain types of people. That's the way the world is until the Mashiach comes and straightens it all out. In the meantime, we've got to fight for justice and we've got to stand up for justice. Kahana Was Right now writes, and I quote, too, a prominent Haredi rabbi blamed Lashon Hara for Walder's cowardly suicide. Why do some Orthodox Jews get swayed by arguments like that, unquote? Okay, Lashon Hara means malicious gossip. Yes, and that's very true. He's actually not a Haredi rabbi who. Anyway, I don't want to go into the whole, because most people wouldn't even know what I'm referring to, but the rabbi that you're referring to is, I guess it's possible to call him Haredi, but he calls himself a Zionist. So the Haredim, but usually don't identify themselves as Zionists, this particular rabbi. But it's just, it's horrific. 22 girls, 22 young women and girls were either molested or sexually assaulted or raped or close to being raped by this creature. 22 girls. What about them? I mean, I know he committed suicide. I know, I'm not saying we're going to celebrate that he committed suicide. I don't know. But 22 young women and girls to do this to them? 22 Jewish girls? And, you know, and if anybody has any doubt that these 22, I mean, as if 22 different young women and girls are going to all, that didn't even know each other. One didn't even know the other. Or would all just make all of this up. I mean, it's so preposterous to think that. But aside from that, there's a tape of him, a tape recording of him, admitting that he had, that with a woman that he had an adulterous affair with. He was speaking to the woman that he had an adulterous affair with to try to coach her on how to answer questions and so on about the adulterous affair that he conducted with her for several years as well. And when that tape came out, the next day he committed suicide. Thank you very much, Khan. It was right. Tragic, tragic situation that people are willing to... These are the same people that condemn the Hilltop Youth, the Kahanists, the real Jewish heroes they condemn. Thank you, Kahana was right. And now we go to our great friend Noah Hyde, who writes, and I quote, "I see some of the Jews being active on the forum every Sabbath. Have you ever considered imposing some restrictions on the forum during the Sabbath?" Unquote. We actually did have a system like that on the Hebrew forum. We had that. And I think we had it on the English forum for a while. I don't recall why we removed it, but there was some sort of problem with it. It was causing some sort of problem. But we did actually have a system of freezing our forum so that people couldn't write on it and couldn't do anything on it on Shabbat, on the Sabbath. And it is something that should be considered. I think there may be a need to possibly think about going back to that. Thank you, Noah Hyde. And we go now to someone else who asks very interesting questions all the time. Am Raphael, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Recently, some group is posting flyers in predominantly Jewish neighborhoods all over the country claiming Jews created COVID. What could their objective be?" Okay, that's the first question. Well, obviously, they're spreading anti-Semitism, or I don't know what the hell they're trying to do, but, you know, the Jews, if the Jews had not invented vaccines against the COVID virus, if they had not invented these vaccines, 10 times as many people would have died, maybe more. The whole world economy would have been in a state of collapse by now. Hospitals would have been completely overrun with sick people. The Jews are the ones that invented. Jewish companies and Jewish scientists were deeply involved in creating all three of the vaccines that work. So, the opposite is true, but, you know, we've seen in history many times the Jews are blamed for everything. When there was the bubonic plague, the Jews were accused of spreading the bubonic plague. So, this is nothing new. This is something we've lived with for thousands of years. And Am Raphael now writes, "How has the Jewish community in America changed since you were young to the present?" Unquote. Well, it's changed very drastically, and it was all predicted. I mean, when I was a teenager, I remember reading the articles by Rabbi Meir Kahana, our beloved leader, Harav Kahana, and he warned, everything he warned about has come true. He said the Jews would, there was a lot of intermarriage and assimilation then as well, even when I was a teenager, even 50 years ago, when I was a teenager 50 years ago now. I'm 65 now, 65 years old. So 50 years ago, I was 15 years old. But even though we had assimilation, we had intermarriage, there was still a very large segment of American Jews who, nevertheless, if you asked them, they would clearly identify as Jewish. They weren't Orthodox. They weren't observing the Torah. That was always a small minority in America. America was a country of assimilation. But they always had a certain sense of, they either spoke Yiddish or they had a certain sense of Jewishness, and they had a concern about Israel and about Jewish issues. That existed among a large segment of American Jews when I was a teenager and when I was in my 20s. But Rabbi Kahana warned that that was going to go away. He warned that when that generation passes away, the next generation, he warned each generation is going to get worse and worse. And now we see a situation where most American Jews are either completely unconcerned about Israel or anti-Israel. They're so self-hating, they're so assimilated, that they're against their own people in Israel. They're the first ones to support a so-called Palestinian state. They're the first ones to support national suicide for Israel. And they couldn't care less about Israel, or about Jewish issues, or about being Jewish, and don't know the first thing about Judaism, and don't want to know. That's the vast majority of American Jews today. Maybe 10% of American Jews, maybe, are Orthodox. Maybe 10%. So you figure if there are 5 million people who in some way identify themselves as Jewish, maybe 500,000 are Orthodox. The rest, and by the way, the Orthodox are nothing to brag about or write home about either. Tremendous problems with the Orthodox. But the rest, the other 4.5 million, these are people who overwhelmingly voted for Barack Hussein Obama, who love people like Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer, who are against Israel, who couldn't care less about Israel, and who actually support our enemies. It's quite a situation. The things have changed. When I was a little boy, there were a lot of Jews whose main language was Yiddish. That was their mother tongue. Those Jews are all gone, that generation. It's been years now. They all passed away. They're all gone. That doesn't exist anymore. Now, we have just assimilation, intermarriage, self-hatred. It's a real nightmare because there's no future for us outside of Israel. Thank you. I'm Raphael, and now we go to Kahana Will Always Be Right, who's new to the forum, or at least he has 3 posts. And welcome, Kahana Will Always Be Right. And he writes, and I quote, 1. Despite Eric Zemmour supporting the Vichy, do you believe he would be good to Israel? Unquote. How could somebody who supported the Nazis, who murdered 6 million Jews, how could a Jew who supported who's running for president of France now, or who might run for president of France, or he is running for president of France, he supports the Nazis. The Nazis. The Vichy French were the ones who rounded up 250,000 French Jews to send them to the Nazi death camps. The Germans didn't have to round up anybody in France. The French Nazis, the French collaborators and French Nazis did it for them. And he praises them. He praises them and supports them. How could he possibly be good for Israel or Jews? Yemach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. 2. Second question from Kahana Will Always Be Right. 2. Don't you think Smotrich, although far from perfect, is the best candidate for Israel? Unquote. I think Smotrich is the worst. The worst. He's worse than the left. Smotrich is the one, Smotrich, in Hebrew we call him Bezalel Smotrich. He remained part of the Netanyahu government when they destroyed Amonah and threw all the Jews out and violently destroyed that community. And when they destroyed Migron and destroyed that, the Netanyahu regime was the one that destroyed Migron, was the one that destroyed Shkunat HaUlpina in Beit El, threw hundreds of Jews out of their homes and expelled them and destroyed them. And Netanyahu was prime minister. Smotrich remained in the government and made excuses for it and said Netanyahu didn't have any choice but to do that. What are you kidding me? He is a pig. A pig. The worst. The lowest. And then he votes to build a city for Arabs. He wants to build a whole city for, while they're destroying our hilltop communities on hilltops in Judea and Samaria. He wants Jewish tax dollars to build another big city for the Arabs in Yosh, in Judea and Samaria. And Smotrich supports it. And Itamar Ben-Gvir supported it. He says, well, we have to build houses for them and hospitals for them. And we don't have to build anything for them. We have to pay them to get the hell out of Israel. And anyone who says the opposite is disastrous for Israel. if there's going to be a Palestinian state, and if Israel's going to commit national suicide, God forbid, and do this catastrophic thing, it's not going to happen under a left-wing government. It's going to happen under a government with Smotrich. And even if Smotrich leaves that government, you know, at the very end, because people like Smotrich, they quit the Sharon government before the Gush Katif expulsion at the very end when it was too late, when it was all over. Then they finally quit. They finally got out of the government when it was too late. And they knew what they were doing. They stayed in the government to the very end when if they had started protesting and fighting in the very beginning, they could have stopped it. And people like Smotrich and Ben-Gvir and all these others, the only thing they care about is their Knesset seat. They are disastrous for the Jewish people and disastrous for Israel. We don't have any politicians that are on our side in Israel. None. None. We've got to fight on the ground with the Hilltop Youth Heroes. That's the only chance we have. That's the only fighting chance we have to stop national suicide in Israel. Thank you, Kahana will always be right. And now we go to an old-time friend of ours, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "What is with the Jews from New York's fascination with Eric Adams? Get ready for David Dinkins 2.0. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, the Jewish Press, that stupid newspaper, that piece of trash newspaper, that was a great paper when only because Rabbi Kahana had a column in it. Rabbi Kahana had a column and he made that paper what it was. It was always a piece of garbage paper, the Jewish mess, the Jewish Press. We always called it the Jewish mess. It was a terrible paper. But Rabbi Kahana made it into something. And his supporters made it into something. And they're the ones that made the paper something. Now the paper doesn't even exist anymore. It practically doesn't exist. Nobody really reads it or cares about it, or cares about the Jewish Press anymore. Even as a physical newspaper or their website, nobody goes to them. They have very, very, very few people go to them. And they don't deserve any readers. They deserve nothing. And they enthusiastically endorsed Eric Adams, who openly ran as Louis Farrakhan's candidate when he was running for public office, for local office in Brooklyn. He openly ran as the candidate of Louis Farrakhan, as a supporter of Louis Farrakhan, openly backing Louis Farrakhan. And this is the great friend of the Jewish people now? What are you? I mean, how stupid can people be? Sick and stupid and cowardly. It's beyond the pale, frankly. Thank you, Chicago Jew. I'm glad you at least can see through that. And now, someone new, J.T. Eferis, who's also writing to us in Hebrew. Soon, half of the questions here are going to be in Hebrew. I think we have to think about maybe doing questions and answers in Hebrew. Anachnu ulai tzrichim lishkol lasot tochnit של שאלות ותשובות בעברית, כי יש לנו כל כך הרבה אנשים שבאים לכאן עכשיו עם שאלות בעברית. Okay, J.T. Eferis writes, and I quote, "שלום לכולם, אני חדשה כאן. טוב, שתי שאלות קצרות בעברית שפת האם שלי," which is, hello everybody, I'm new here. Fine, two short questions in Hebrew, my mother tongue. Okay, and here are the questions. Achat, Chaim, איזו דמות היסטורית היית רוצה לפגוש לו יכולת שאיננה בחיים? לדוגמה, שלמה המלך, הרמב״ם, גולדה מאיר וכולי. Okay, the question is, Chaim, which historic figure would you want to meet if you could? And someone that is not alive now, and she gives us examples: King Solomon, Harambam, Maimonides, or Golda Meir. Batuach shelo Golda Meir, yimach shma v'zichra. Betach lo Golda Meir, shehi achrayit למותם של כמעט 3,000 חיילים יהודים, Hashem yikom damam, במלחמת יום הכיפורים. ושהיא הייתה מלשינה ובוגדת שעודדה את היהודים למסור אנשי אצל לבריטים בשנות ה-40 של המאה הקודמת. אז בטח לא גולדה מאיר. And I just said, certainly wouldn't be גולדה מאיר. who, Yimashma v'zichra, may her name and memory be obliterated, who was responsible for the murder or the death of almost 3,000 Israeli Jews because of the Yom Kippur War, because of what she did in the Yom Kippur War, and who also, that low-life informer and traitor, she urged Jews to hand over members of the Jewish underground of the Etzel in the 1940s to the British, to be hanged by the British. So it certainly wouldn't be that disgusting beast. Ani choshev she... שאלה קשה, כי יש כמובן כל כך הרבה דמויות גדולות ביותר בהיסטוריה היהודית, משה רבנו, אברהם, יצחק, יעקב, דוד המלך, שמואל הנביא. אז זה קשה להחליט. אני חושב שהייתי הולך עם משה רבנו. אני חושב שהוא היה היהודי והבן אדם הגדול ביותר בתולדות האנושות כולה. And what I just said is I think I would go with Moses, that he was probably the greatest. There are so many great people in history, and I mentioned some of them in Jewish history. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, the prophet Samuel, I mentioned, and there was so many, but I think I would go with Moses because I think he was the greatest. אגב, אני לא יודע מה הייתי אומר למשה רבנו. יהודי פשוט כמוני מול משה רבנו. אני לא מיליונית ממשה רבנו. אני לא יודע מה הייתי אומר, אבל לראות אותו זה באמת היה משהו. And I just said, I don't even know what I would say to him because I'm not even one millionth of such a simple Jew like me, meeting someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Moses. I'm not even one millionth of someone like him. Okay, question two. Shtayim. Ma datcha al Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, the YouTuber Paul Joseph Watson. Haim hem pro-Yisraelim toda. What is my opinion on Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and the YouTuber Paul Joseph Watson? Are they pro-Israel? Bichlalo. Bichlalo. Hem tamchu betochnit Trump. Tochnit Trump hayta tochnit lehitparka shel hamedina hayehudit. Zo hayta atochnit haasonit biyoter. הסיוטית ביותר שאפשר להציע, והם תמכו בזה, אז הם לא היו. אני מדבר על הנדי וקרלסון עכשיו. לגבי פול ג'וסף וואטסון, הוא חברו של האנטישמי אלכס ג'ונס, והוא גם משוגע. אגב, אלכס ג'ונס משוגע וגם וואטסון משוגע, אז בטח שלא. הם לא החברים שלנו. And I just said absolutely not, that she asked if Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and the YouTuber Paul Joseph Watson are pro-Israel, are friends of Israel. And I said absolutely not, that Hannity and Carlson supported the Trump plan for Israeli suicide, which would have been the ultimate nightmare for Israel. And Watson is friends with Alex Jones. That's his big buddy, who's an anti-Semite and conspiracy theorist and a complete nut job. No, of course not. Ani modelach. And now we go, I thank you. And now we go to Chaim Azulai Efeshesh, who also asks us questions in Hebrew. Chaim Azulai writes, and I quote, Shalom Rav Chaim. דבר ראשון, רציתי להגיד ששמחתי סוף סוף לדבר איתך בשיחת הזום שרם ארגן. זה לא היה מובן מאליו שתיקח חלק בשיחה, ואני אישית מאוד מעריך את זה. And Chaim writes, first of all, I was very happy to finally speak to you in the Zoom that Ram organized. Again, Ram organized a Zoom conference where we had 45 people come on. And he said that it's not something that can be assumed. You can't take it for granted that that I would be a part of that conversation, and he appreciates it. And now Chaim writes, and I quote, Davar Sheni. Hezanti lidvarecha hakashim she'aniti li bapam ha'acharona kesh'amarta lecha she'hitkavanti linsoa legermania. Basof lo nasati ki ba'avoda lo natnu li chofesh ve'ani gam tichnanti lachzor lifnei ha'Christmas ratziti linsoa rak letzorech bikur ב-אירופה ולראות איך הם מקשטים את הערים והרחובות, לא מעבר לזה. Okay, he writes that he listened to my very difficult words, my very harsh words, when I answered him about him going to Germany, because he said he wanted to go to Germany for Christmas or before Christmas. And he said in the end he didn't because his work wouldn't allow him to, but he just wanted to see how they light and decorate their cities and streets. Chaim ze asur lanu lehanot me'avodah zarah. Ze asur lanu lehanot midvarim ka'ele. Ve'hachag ha'metoav haze shel ha'goyim. Ze chag shebo ratzchu ein sfor Yehudim ba'historia. Ze chag shel avodah zarah. Ze chag meguchach ve'zol. ומגיל, ואסור ליהודי להיות חלק מזה או להנות מדבר כזה. רק שתדע, כי אני חושב שאתה יהודי טוב, ואני חושב שאתה יותר מדי טוב בשביל משהו כזה. אז רק רציתי לציין את זה. Okay, and I just told him that a Jew is not allowed to enjoy the lights or enjoy the lights or the decorations for an idolatrous holiday in which many Jews throughout history were murdered on that holiday. That's absolutely forbidden. Chaim Akshav, okay. Chaim now writes, and I quote, "Beyesh li she'ela acheret. Etzleinu b'Yisrael nahug likro lelel hashana ha'ezrachit ha'chadasha Sylvester. Haim zehu שם תקין בעיניך, בחול, אם תגיד שאתה חוגג סילבסטר, רוב הסיכויים שלא יבינו על מה אתה מדבר. תודה רבה ושבוע טוב ומבורך." And now he asks, in Israel, people call the new year, the civil new year, Sylvester. And he says, is that an appropriate name in your eyes? Is that a correct name? He said, because outside of Israel, if you say Sylvester, if you say you're going to celebrate Sylvester, most chances are that people won't know what you're talking about. אני לא יודע מה השם התקין. אני רק יודע שזה לא ראש השנה שלנו. וגם אסור לנו לחגוג את זה. אסור לנו לחגוג כל החגים של הגויים, כי כל זה קשור לעבודה זרה שלהם. אסור לנו לעשות את זה. למה לחגוג חגים של גויים כשיש לנו את הדת האמיתית? יש לנו את האמת מבורי עולם. אנחנו עם נבחר, גוי קדוש, אור לעמים, או לפחות אנחנו אמורים להיות ככה. למה לחגוג את החגים של הפגנים האלה? זה לא, אני פשוט לא מבין את זה. אני לא מבין, חיים. ושוב, אתה יהודי טוב, אתה יהודי אינטליגנטי. אתה בטח יודע איזה עם גדול יש לנו. אתה יותר מדי טוב בשביל זה, חיים. And I just said to Chaim that we're not allowed to celebrate the Christian New Year. And whatever they call it, it doesn't matter what they call it, we're not allowed to celebrate it. And that we should be proud of our own holidays. Because we have the truth. And we represent the truth. And we're supposed to be representatives of the truth to the nations of the world as well, to the Gentiles as well. Ani modeh lecha, Chaim. And now we go to Harel 156. Harel, I'm so happy to see you again. Haven't seen you in a long time. I'm so happy to see you. Harel writes, and I quote, Dei Chaim. One, the Kushis succeeded with the great help of the Jews to take over this great USA. They are in full power, unquote. Okay, and he's referring to blacks. And you're absolutely right. And again, this is a great tragedy that they've been able to take over, you know, that they're able to take over the country. And unfortunately, most Jews, like most whites, accepted this and participated in this insanity. And yeah, it's going to lead to the downfall of the United States. There's no question. We see the United States already in decline because of this. It's completely, completely insane. There's no question about that. And now Harel writes, and I quote, two, why did they not go to Africa to take over the snakes, crocodiles, and climb on banana trees to take power in their own native jungle? I believe in the past you mentioned they cook a stew of each other. Please comment. Thank you. I agree with you. And you know, there was actually a bill in the Congress after slavery, after they were emancipated from slavery, after the Civil War in the 1860s, there was actually a bill in the Congress, and it failed by one vote. By just one vote. The bill was to send them back to Africa. By one vote, it failed. So, you know, that was some mistake. That was some mistake to allow that to happen. And we can't allow that to happen to Israel, with the Arabs in Israel. We've got to get the Arabs out. Or what's happening to America will happen in Israel, God forbid. Chas v'chalila. Thank you, Harel. It's good to see you again. And Gimatria, so good to see you, Gimatria. Welcome back. Gimatria writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim Ha'amitz, the prosecutor of the pervert slut, Ghislaine, you know, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Is it Ghislaine? I think it's just Ghislaine Maxwell was none other than Miranda Comey, daughter of the corrupt Stalinist James Comey. With Maxwell's conviction now, the case has been sealed, and we will never learn the contents of the terabytes of media on the hard drives collected from Epstein's Manhattan home. Are we to believe the satanic Maxwell trafficked these poor girls exclusively to the arch pervert Epstein? Can we do anything about this? Will the perverts and Sotim means perverts, will the pedophiles and Sotim means perverts, like Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, and the others who preyed on these poor girls get away with this? What fate awaits them in the next world? Chazaku Baruch Chaim, for all that you do, Gimatria. Okay, great question. Obviously, they were trafficking these girls to people like Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew and many other disgusting people. There's no question about that. And I have a feeling, though, that we may learn a lot more. I hope that we'll learn a lot more, because she's been convicted now. She was found guilty. And if she doesn't cooperate and hand over some names and start giving up some information, she's going to spend the rest of her life in prison for what she did. So she may come forward with names, and she may start giving up a lot of information. So you may see some things coming out of this. This may not be over yet, Gimatria. Thank you for the great question, Gimatria. And now we go to our good friend Italian Zionist, who writes, and I quote, Hello, hi Chaim. What should I tell people if they say that the Israeli government will destroy the homes in Judea, so why should we give money to the Hilltop Youth? There appears to be a lot of apathy among my Orthodox friends. Why do many of them feel this is not an important issue? Is it that many believe that Israel is not important until the Messiah comes? No, I think it's just because they're selfish. You're meeting people who are just selfish and just don't care, and apathetic and don't care. I mean, you know, if they really loved Israel or cared about Israel, they would learn enough to know why this is important. The Israeli government does destroy the homes, but they rebuild them faster than the Israeli government destroys them. We now have a lot more homes in the hilltops in the past year than we had a year ago, even though there have been a lot of destructions. So yes, there's a fight back and forth. The fact that the Israeli government destroys the homes shows how important this is. Why do they bother to come in with so many hundreds of soldiers and police and to come and destroy some isolated... Sometimes they come in just to destroy some isolated caravan. Caravan is a trailer, some isolated trailer. Why do they do this? Why do they make such a big deal? Why is this so important to them? Only a fool would not see that this is important, because, again, if Jews break out of those settlement clusters, that 3-5% of Judea and Samaria where the Jews are allowed to live, if they break out of there and move into the other 95-97%, and enough Jews do that, and especially if they take over the strategic hilltops that cut Arab contiguous PLO state in all the key areas, if they do that, that's a real problem for creating a PLO state. So, you know, this is the battle, and Jews that don't run to recognize that, a lot of them are apathetic and just don't care because they're selfish. A lot of them are selfish and don't care and only care about themselves. Tragically true. Italian Zionist now writes, when the modern state of Israel was formed, or after the Six-Day War, why didn't they put their foot down and say the West Bank is part of Israel and get rid of the mosques on top of the temple? Had they done this from the beginning, they would not have these problems today. Did they ever even consider getting rid of the mosques on top of the temple? Unquote. Great question. Italian Zionist, let me explain something to you. You're normal. And the Jews that were running Israel in 1967 when they liberated the area where the Holy Temple was, they're not normal. These are sick, self-hating Jews. And you know, the Arabs who, it's called the Waqf, the Arabs who control those two disgusting, hideous mosques, those terrorist mosques that are situated where the Holy Temple was. And the Waqf, when after the Jews won in 6 days, and the Arabs were terrified of the Jews, they ran and came with the keys and said, here, here, they told Moshe Dayan, the defense minister, here, 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 oh, you can have it, of course, see, it's all yours. They were ready to flee and give us everything. Moshe Dayan said, no, 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 no. Here are the keys back. You can continue to control the most holy place in the world. You can continue to control the place where prophecy exists, and where prophecy will be recreated, and the most important place, the place that is called the connection between heaven and earth. You can continue to control this and have your terrorist mosques where you were preaching genocide against the Jewish people and screaming every Friday in your Juma prayers that the Jews should be pushed into the sea and that we should finish Hitler's job. You can continue to go there and continue to do that. Here are the keys back here. So, sick people, very, very sick people, and the whole world suffers because of that, Italian Zionist, but I just wish that the Jews were as normal as you are. Thank you for the great question and great points, and now we go to Vintage JTF, who always asks interesting questions. Vintage JTF is relatively new, but he's been asking very, very interesting questions. Vintage JTF writes, and I quote, Der Chaim, one, last year, after a lifetime in New York City, I accepted a promotion and moved to Texas. I accepted another promotional offer and will be moving to Florida in a few weeks. It's quite the change in lifestyle. What keeps you in New York after all these years as opposed to moving to a freer state? Unquote. I hate New York. First of all, congratulations on your promotion. I hate New York. I hate the weather. I hate the freezing. You know, it's freezing here now. I hate it. I hate New York. I hate living here. I hate everything about it. You know, the only place I want to live is in Israel. But I'm in New York because that's where the largest number of Jews are, and where the action is as far as trying to influence things for the Jews. And I live to try to make things better for the Jewish people and for Israel, and to try to save and try to back up the hilltop heroes now who I think are on the people on the front line in our struggle to survive now. So I've got to be where the action is and where the Jews are, where the largest concentration of Jews are, and that is in New York. Not only do we have the largest number of Jews in New York, but the Orthodox Jewish community in New York. New York, I don't know, out of 5 million Jews in the United States, maybe 1 million live in New York City, and then maybe another 500,000 in the suburbs. So that's 1.5 million out of 5 million. Let me do my math properly. That's 30%. That's almost a third of American Jewry just live in New York and the surrounding suburbs, New York City and the surrounding suburbs. That's almost a third of American Jewry. Plus, probably a majority of Orthodox Jews in America, who are really the greatest target audience that we should be targeting if we want to get support for the Hilltop Youth. majority of the Orthodox Jews live in New York City and the surrounding areas. So, you know, this is where it is. I hate New York, and I would rather not live in New York, but this is where I've got to be if I want to be most effective, and that's the only thing I care about. That's the only thing I care about right now, and that's what's important to me. Thank you very much, Vintage JTF, and I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing of Ask JTF. Do everything you can to help us. Everything you can. First of all, you know that you can give us monthly donations. Whatever the amount is, it will help us. That will go to the Hilltop Youth. Help us. You have no idea how much these people are sacrificing. We should be backing them up. So you can help us financially. And you can also help by promoting JTF. You can put our videos, you can spread the word about our videos and spread the word about what we're doing to wherever you can. Help us. We need your help. It's an important thing to do, and someday God will ask you what you did. The fact that you're with us, if you're helping us, that's a big plus. That makes a big difference. Because these are the heroes of our generation, and this is the battle that really counts. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.